Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what good are you, Jesus? John the Baptist has been rotting in prison, and now he's been viciously murdered, made shorter by a head. And what do, Jesus? You take off to be by yourself as if you're some kind of rock star Planet Hollywood loner. Word has leaked out, however. TMZ Palestine is watching your every move, Jesus, and has tweeted and twittered your whereabouts. And so now we're stuck out here in the middle of nowhere, and we're surrounded, overrun, suffocated by a mob of over 5,000 starving Marvin men, not counting all the famished women and children. We wanted to get rid of them because it's late, and of course they do need to eat. There's no Jimmy John in sight. There's no Little Caesar for miles. And Jesus, you have the audacity to tell us to give them something to eat? Really? Like we could do that? You know, Jesus, all we have are 5 little loaves of rock-hard barley bread and 2 stale dried fish. What is that among so many? I mean, what kind of Jesus is this? Can you trust that kind of Jesus? A Jesus with only 5 loaves and 2 fish? And in the desert to boot? And among such a great thronging crowd as well? Well, can you? Will you trust such a Jesus? You're having your doubts, aren't you? Yes, you are. But have you forgotten just how compassionate he is? His heart went out to these troubled people, and so as the text says, he healed their sick. Jesus sees a mission field, a world full of sinners for whom he came to do a Good Friday in order to redeem them and fellowship with them. But what do you see? What is it that troubles you? You see only a bothersome horde of wretched sick people. You can't take your eyes off of the 5 stale loaves and 2 stinky fish. Barely a petite lunch for a little preschool boy. The governing authorities today probably wouldn't allow that for a boy to bring to school for lunch, would they? Of course not. And so you shake your head. You only see a massive throng of men, women, and children hounding Jesus, perpetually coming to him. What is this Jesus among so many? Well, your vision is restricted, it is small, it is limited. Your focus is on your lack of resources and restrictions. You know, it's late in the day, we're way out here in the boondocks, and you have been given the gargantuanly impossible task that Jesus asked you to do, feed 5,000 plus. You're preoccupied with a bunch of loser moochers, a gang of worthless hangers-on, deadbeats who are totally dependent on this Jesus and won't let go of him. I mean, you're upset about this, but what aren't you seeing? Better yet, who aren't you seeing or believing among the 5,000 plus, the musty bread rolls, and the rank fish? You believe that all that you have are 7 items. 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fishes. You really should count to 8. Aren't you forgetting? Jesus. You've got him. But in all your fretting and all your anxiety, you've counted him out. Because there's such overwhelming need with such underwhelming resources. Jesus seems so little, so worthless, so irrelevant, so beside the point. Will you trust such a puny and weak Jesus? Can you? You're just like Israel of old. As Israel wandered in the wilderness on her way to the promised land, they spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the desert? Can he also give bread for his people?" That's Psalm 70. You too are just like, of all people, Moses himself. He looked around and all he could see were 600,000 Israelite male mouths to feed, not counting all the Israelite women and children. And Moses doubted big time. He complained. He grumbled. His problem was with the Lord. Listen to what he said in Numbers 11. Here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you, God, say that you will give them meat to eat for a whole month? Oh, would they, if they had enough flocks and herds, if we could slaughter all of our flocks and herds, maybe. Would they have enough, Moses asked God, would they have enough if all the fish in the sea were caught for them? And the rhetorical answer would be, of course not. That's when the Lord unloaded on Moses with the verbal answer from Numbers 11. The Lord says to Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you. And what happened? The Lord gave the Israelites quail to eat, more food than they and Moses could ever imagine, let alone consume. And there was more and more and more. And then you remember that God also gave Israel manna from heaven every morning. You remember that, don't you? The same compassion that brought Jesus to the shore to heal their sick now leads him to care for this swarm of hangers-on even more. Doing something that you never expected, something that you never dared to ask for, wasn't even on your radar screen because you were having your doubts about this, this Jesus. Well, that's when Jesus steps up to the plate, the dinner plate, if you will. He barks out the orders. Give me the bread. Sit down, everyone. Yes, on the grass, please. And he raises his eyes to heaven. He speaks a table blessing. He breaks the bread into pieces. And then he hands the pieces to these disciples who have their doubts. And he tells them to pass them out to the crowds. And what's barely enough for a little boy's lunch now becomes a feast for 5,000 plus. And it's done in the wilderness of all places with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And incredibly, everyone eats until they're full, until they're absolutely stuffed. Can't have another bite. You know, Grandma would always come around and say, have another piece. No, full. Can't have any more. And then, amazing more, when they pick up the leftovers, it fills up 12 baskets full. And these weren't like little, but these were huge baskets. You never expected that, did you? Not even in your wildest dreams. But with Jesus, there's always enough and more than enough to go around. The disciples needed to learn that, and so do you. What is it that you doubt? Are you of little faith? Like Old Testament Israel in the wilderness, Jesus teaches his disciples and you to trust in his care and in his attention. Just as God fed Israel bread from heaven and quail in the desert, he now teaches his disciples to train them that he will take care of them as well. Jesus does that to train you, to teach you. Jesus is God for you. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter how little you have, no matter how bleak your condition looks, he's there for you and he will provide for you. That's precisely why he has taught you to pray a certain way. When you pray, pray, give us this day our daily bread. And he does. One way is this way. The farmer grows the grain, the miller grinds it, the baker kneads it, and then bakes it. The truck driver transports it, the grocer distributes it. That's how Jesus gives you daily bread, and with other material things that you need for this earthly life. Now, brothers and sisters, I can't help myself. I have to say just a little bit more, and I hope you can listen for just a few more minutes. Can you? Thank you. Here goes. I didn't wait for you to answer. Here goes. Loads of little indicators, tiny details in the text that push us to believe and rejoice in Jesus as the Savior all the more. Check it out. Number one, Jesus directs the people to sit where? On the grass. St. Mark, in his account, says it's green grass. John tells us in his account that it is much grass. Now, of what does that remind you? Does it remind you of a psalm? It should. Yes, that's right. None other than Psalm 23, the psalm's preaching of the good shepherd who leads his sheep to lie down where? In green pastures. Why? Well, according to Psalm 23, in order to prepare a table loaded with nourishing food before his people. 2, since the grass is green, it means it's spring. That means that the Passover is near, Israel's celebration of her rescue from Egyptian slavery and brought into the promised land of freedom. And so Jesus, one greater than Moses, feeds his new Israel in the wilderness as he goes on his way to do his exodus, his Good Friday death, and his Easter morning resurrection. No doubt the disciples, the crowd, and now you recall the miraculous manna from heaven, bread that rained down from heaven every morning to feed the Israelites in their wilderness wanderings. And in addition, they probably remember the time when the prophet Elijah miraculously fed 100 men with 20 barley loaves. But Jesus is greater than Moses. He is greater than Elijah. Isaiah proclaimed God's salvific promise to Israel of old. Come, we heard it today, didn't we? Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul will live. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus miraculously feeds this huge crowd, you know that the salvation promised by God through the prophet Isaiah is happening in Jesus Christ. And there's more. The feeding of the 5,000 plus is a foretaste of a greater feast that is to come, that Jesus will soon provide in the Gospels. Again, the feast that no one, not even you, expected. You know, it happened on the night when he was betrayed, where he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, handed it to the disciples with the most audacious words ever spoken in a feast in the Bible. Eat it, he said. It is my body, and it's for you. He took the cup of wine, gave it to them to drink, and he declared, this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Wow. He multiplied bread in the wilderness, fed 5,000 plus, 12 baskets of fragments left over. Today he multiplies the bread of his body and the wine of his blood. Again, it's all for you, for your forgiveness. It is the feast that rejoices in the Lord's Good Friday victory that won your salvation. And yet more. The Lord's Supper is a foretaste of the final feast to come, the eternal wedding blowout supper of the Lamb, and that's heaven. Read about it in Revelation 19. All this is yours because of Jesus, the Jesus who is for you. Thanks be to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen.